Hello, everyone, and of course, a very happy birthday, Carolyn, my love. It's great to be here. We are here today, of course, for Holy Spirit Guides, which means we're going to be reading from ReginaDawnAkers.com. So let me give you that link. What I'm going to do is just begin reading from Monday, May 9th. And I would like to give this reading to the Holy Spirit. I ask that the Holy Spirit help us to see what we need to see and realize what we need to realize. I would like to remind all of you that you are a part of the flow. So if you are feeling any guidance to say anything or ask anything, please raise your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. So again, beginning at Monday, May 9th, 2005. Listen. Listen to the voice behind your thoughts, underneath, in the stillness of your mind. Shh. Let the other thoughts go. Put them aside gently and focus on my voice. It is speaking for you, and what I offer you, you do want. Trust in the voice that speaks in a whisper. It is the gentleness of love. It is the stillness of peace, and it is in your mind. So it must be you. Put the noise aside and listen for your voice. Find your wisdom. It knows you, and therefore it knows who you are. And of course, this is a simple message that the Holy Spirit gave me in order to help me build my confidence in it. It's that simple. And lots of times whenever the Holy Spirit was trying to help me build my confidence in the inner voice, it would show me that or it would tell me that the inner voice was me. Because it knew that I still at that point really believed in separation and really believed in sacrifice. And so I feared the inner voice, even though I was attracted to it. I feared the inner voice. Because I was afraid that the inner voice was going to ask me to do something that I did not want to do, something that was a sacrifice, something that I feared. And so, you know, this is just a simple, simple message given to me to help me overcome that fear. And it was always helpful to me whenever the Holy Spirit told me that the inner voice was me, because then I felt that I could trust it, and I felt that if it was me, it would not ask me to do things I didn't want to do, that there would be a harmony or an alignment there. And of course, that has been my experience as I listen to the inner voice. My experience has been that the things it guides me to do, although they are things that I would not have thought of at the thinking mind level, or things that the personality would not have come up with, what I find is that they bring me a lot of satisfaction. So it really is what I truly want, but was simply not consciously aware of. And I'm not even talking about the end result, which, you know, is awakening. I'm talking about the things that come along the way. You know, I'm just finding that it is all perfect. And so my trust in the inner voice is growing day by day by day. Why don't we go ahead and scroll on up to Tuesday, May 10th. And it looks like on Tuesday, May 10th, I was reading Lesson 348, I Have No Reason for Anger or Fear. And while I was meditating on that lesson, these are the words that came into my mind. Perception is a choice. Reality is not. Since you are unaware of a reality, you may make the choice to walk toward that awareness or not to. Whatever choice you make does not change reality, for it cannot be changed, but it will change your experience within life. It is as simple as asking yourself what you want and then being determined to find what you seek. You cannot help but find what you seek in perception. This is how perception works. It is seen as the result of your choice, as the result of your decision of what you want to see. That's really a great message. I love reading some of these messages that I received, you know, more than 2 years ago. This is really a very good message. At least it's speaking to me very much now. I feel like I could talk about this all day, and I don't even know where to begin. All of the thoughts are just spinning in my mind. I think that the first thought that really came into my mind was I was remembering the teaching from last Thursday in the NTI study group when we talked about the tiny mat idea. And we talked about the fact that we are not guilty for the tiny mat idea. And we talked about the fact that we are not guilty for desiring any experience in the world or for having any experience in the world. We talked about our innocence and our freedom and our ability to choose any experience. And no matter what, we are free and innocent. I received some questions after that teaching. And I think the questions came from still this belief that we have in the mind that we could not possibly be innocent. That if we are not choosing the path of awakening, then we somehow have to be guilty, that somehow that must be wrong. And it is not wrong. It is not wrong to choose a path other than the path of awakening, because we are the free and innocent Son of God. And so the next question might come up then, why would I choose the path of awakening? And the answer is in this particular message right here. It's as simple as asking yourself what you want. It's really very, very simple. It's as simple as asking yourself what you want. My God, I mean, you know, that's just amazing to me that it's amazing to me. I'm going to be honest. It is amazing to me that the Holy Spirit is giving us permission to ask for what we want. Because I am finding since I taught on Thursday, what I have been observing in my mind is that I believe that I am guilty if I am wanting. I believe I'm guilty if I am wanting. That's what I've noticed in my mind. I believe I am guilty if I am wanting. I feel guilty for wanting. And that is not the message the Holy Spirit is teaching me or the message that the Holy Spirit is teaching through me. But it's still a belief in the mind. And I've also found that in addition to feeling guilty for wanting, that I am afraid to want, because I am afraid of miscreating through the ego filter. So I'm afraid to want, afraid of miscreating, which also stems from that guilt for the tiny mat idea. And then in addition to that, I have discovered that when I do take a moment to imagine the gifts that I would like to receive from my Father in this lifetime, that I don't at all believe I deserve them. And that stems from the unworthiness, which stems from the guilt for the tiny, mad idea. So this is something that I'm currently working on letting go of. It really feels like my current lesson to let go of wanting, to let go of the guilt for wanting. And there's something very funny about this. And the very funny thing is, Holy Spirit has been very clear with me that the wants that are in my mind were placed there by the Holy Spirit. The wants that are in my mind were placed there by the Holy Spirit. So literally by wanting those things, I am leading myself to awakening. Those desires came to me through my true desire. Since my true desire is the strongest desire in my mind now, no longer is resistance the strongest desire. true desire is the true is the strongest desire in my mind, then that means the other desires are coming from the true desire. And by desiring those things, I am leading myself to awakening. That's my path. That is my path. But by being afraid to desire those things, what the Holy Spirit told me today is that I am getting inconsistent results, miracles in some places of my life, areas of my life, and then not so much in other areas of my life. And the reason for that is that I am inconsistent in my mind. Sometimes I feel good about the wanting, like I felt good about wanting a publisher for NTI to show up. That was a want that was placed in my mind by the Holy Spirit, and I felt good about that wanting. And as I wanted it with my creative mind, it came to be in form. But there are other wants that the Holy Spirit gives me that I am afraid to want because I think I don't deserve them. And so those are not coming into be in form because I am not using my creative mind to follow the guidance and want those things. Cliff, do you realize that every time I teach, you say, like the want of a relationship? Like a relationship. Yes, sure. Sure. And you know, Cliff, let's just talk about a relationship right now. We could be talking about anything, but let's talk about a relationship. Yeah, you do, Cliff. Let's talk about a relationship for a moment, all right? Because I know that there are other people in this room who want a relationship too. I know that. I know you people. So let's talk about it. One thing that I have noticed in my mind since Holy Spirit has been having me look at my mind and having me look at the things I am guided to want, that I am afraid to want, is Holy Spirit is showing me, bringing it to my attention, I should say, bringing it to my attention, how much time I spend in my mind thinking against that want. For example, if I wanted a relationship, if that was what I was seeking, then what I may see in my mind are lots and lots of thoughts that are thinking away from that goal. I may have grievances that are in my mind about past relationships. I may have unworthiness thoughts about my body or my employment situation or something else that are working against that relationship because I'm teaching myself that I'm unworthy. And really what the Holy Spirit teaches us, and we all know this, and in fact, Lisa Natoli did a great post yesterday about Scott, how do you say his last name, Scott Bow from Happy Days? If you haven't seen that post on the Peace of God, it's a great post. But the post was talking about he's 45 and single and apparently going to a therapist to figure out why he's, you know, single. And Lisa said he's single because he wants to be single. And, you know, many people in a relationship that are not in a relationship, not in a relationship right now, will say, that is not true. I do want to be in a relationship. That's what they'll say. That is not true. I do want to be in a relationship. But as Lisa Natoli was saying in her post yesterday, if you truly wanted to be in a relationship, you would be in a relationship. So one thing that we need to do is we need to look at our mind and find out what we are wanting. And we can know what we are wanting. You almost have to redefine the word want here. You have to take a moment to redefine the word want. You can know what you are wanting by paying attention to what you are letting your mind think about. If you are letting your mind think about how unworthy you are, that nobody would ever want you because you're fat and ugly and poor and, you know, all these other great things you think about yourself, if that's how you feel, then that's what you're wanting. You're wanting to be unworthy, and that's the experience you're receiving. This is what Holy Spirit is trying to teach us. The thoughts that are in our minds, that's our wanting, that's our prayer. So if I want a relationship, the first thing I need to do is I need to look in my mind and find out where my wanting is against that goal. And I need to be Yeah, Cliff, I wasn't talking about you specifically as fat or ugly or poor. If I want to be in a relationship, then I need to realign my thoughts in harmony with that goal. I need to allow my wanting as Son of God to be in harmony with that goal. It's really important to remember who I am at all times. Steve, I'm going to turn the mic over to you now.
Yeah, I was just listening and it was interesting. We were just reading, I don't know, it was last week or the week before, in that dialogue in Awakening by Tom and Linda Carpenter, he was saying, Jesus, her brother, was saying, like, yeah, you really, really desire a relationship, but I'll tell you that until you love yourself or feel the let go of the unworthiness, no relationship will make you happy until you really let go of any of the unworthiness you have. And I remembered a friend that I met at Bumpy Road. He had he made up a want ad, you know, like a personal ad or something like that, I guess, kind of a personal ad. And everything that he had in there that he thought he wanted out of a relationship really seemed like the relationship he wanted to have with himself, or the relationship he wanted to have with his God self, or with God, you know. And I think what I'm finding is that most relationships are reflective of the relationship you think you have with yourself, or the relationship you think you have with God. So it was interesting. We just read it, like I said, Terry and Charlotte and Lori, and I think Mary Ellen was there, and maybe Robert Mills or somebody, a week or two ago, that this relationship that you really think you want, and Jesus goes on, or her brother goes on to say, like, you could have a relationship, but until you really love yourself and get rid of all, you know, lose more of the ego unworthiness that you don't really think you're worthy of love, you won't have the relationship you're looking for until you really love yourself. So it was, I mean, what you were saying was exactly right, and it really reinforced it. As you were talking, you were saying everything that I thought we read in the last, well, no, it's when we started out, you know. But until you really love yourself, it's hard to have. And I think most people, even in the dream, think that unless you love yourself, no relationship is going to be a substitute for what you feel for yourself. You know, it's not outside, it's kind of inside, you know. Unless you really can accept and not, you know, get rid of the guilt. If you feel guilty, you can't even really accept God's love, from what I've been reading in the Course and in NTI and, you know, some of the other books. So yeah, everything you said was right on, and I don't know if anything that I said helped clarify it for me, but unless you really care about yourself, it was interesting, you know. No relationship is going to satisfy you until you're happy with yourself and love yourself as best you can, you know. So thanks for letting me share. That's just what was coming up, I guess. Here's the mic back. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and of course, we're just using a relationship as an example here because Cliff gave us that example, but this is true for anything that we want. Cam, please take the mic.
Yes, I agree with you. It's for anything. We might be talking about the specific of a relationship, but it's not really the specific that matters, because if we could plug in anything. I had two thoughts that arose that I'll go ahead and share as we were sharing on this. One is focused, or however I'm going to say this, of observing or thinking I'm not in a relationship, because obviously we're in relationship with lots of things. So I guess it's the idea or definition of what a relationship means to me, which is calling forth that I want to look at. And then another thought followed up with that, you know, oh, well, then maybe I want to be in a relationship with, you know, a girl and a boy, and then I have all these fantasies of living happily ever after, and we'll share A Course in Miracles in the morning and drink coffee in the evening. Okay, so the next one could be in, you know, can be in a relationship and having thoughts of not having the relationship I want fantasy. So I had those ideas that came up to share in the room. You know, I'm in a relationship, but I want a relationship that's like this or like this or like this, those kind of fantasies. Thank you.
Yeah, and of course, you know, what Holy Spirit is saying in this message that I'm reading from now, you know, again, he's saying it's as simple as asking yourself for what you want and then being determined to find what you seek. And being determined to find what you seek, the way I understood those words would be very similar to vigilant for the kingdom. You know, vigilant for the kingdom certainly means that you have made the decision to awaken. That's what you've decided that you want. And if you're going to be vigilant for the kingdom, then what that really means is you need to be watching your mind and making sure that the thoughts that you are accepting into the mind are in alignment with your purpose. And if there are other desires which may be in your mind but could also be coming from that true desire, if your true desire is very, very strong, these other desires can be coming from your true desire. They are your path to awakening. Then you also want to make sure you are being vigilant in the mind for those desires as well. And that is no different than, literally, no different than being vigilant for the kingdom. Because you're still going to be watching the mind for your unworthiness thoughts, for your guilt thoughts, for your fear thoughts. Because the same types of thoughts that are keeping you out of the awareness of the kingdom are the same types of thoughts that are keeping you away from these other desires which are a part of that path. So really all we need to do is be vigilant for the kingdom. You know, that's what's really cool. That's all we need to do is be vigilant for the kingdom. And as we are vigilant to the kingdom, everything else that is helpful will come to us. Everything that is helpful along the way will come to us, whether that seems to be a relationship or whether that seems to be a job or some type of role. Whatever that is, it will come to us. And this is the meaning of seek ye first the kingdom and all else will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom, yes, and all else will be added to you. By being vigilant for the kingdom, we are accepting the thoughts that bring to us that which is helpful, which is also that which we truly desire, even within this life, and we are letting go of the thoughts that would keep that away from us. So it's really quite simple. But again, one of the things that gets in at least my way, and I believe it probably gets in some of your ways also, is that guilt about the tiny mad idea. Because, for example, if the Holy Spirit, if I had a desire to want a new home, and this desire seemed to rise up within me, all right, and along with this desire to have a new home, what I'm seeing is a new home with many bedrooms. I'm seeing a new home with a nice gathering area, many bathrooms, right? This home very well could be a part of a very important awakening plan, a place where people can get together and gather and heal together, a very important part of the awakening plan. But if I am afraid to follow up on that desire because I feel guilty for wanting something in the world, do you see how that's an obstacle to my own path? And that's what I'm discovering in my mind, folks, this week, is I am discovering that there are wants that are in my mind, which the Holy Spirit is very clear, I placed those wants in your mind, and yet I am feeling guilty for wanting. So what I am doing is learning to let go of that guilt. It is as simple as asking yourself what you want. And for me, the answer to that question is awakening, or to be only love, know only love, extend only love. Notice how my first answer to that question, my primary answer to that question, is my true desire. It's as simple as asking yourself what you want and then being determined to find what you seek. You cannot help but find what you seek in perception. That is how perception works. It is seen as the result of your choice, as the result of your decision of what you want to see. So what do I want to see? And in order to find out what I want to see, I have to watch what I am truly praying for in every moment. If I was to measure my thoughts, are the majority of my thoughts self-loving thoughts? Or are the majority of my thoughts unworthiness thoughts? That will tell me what I'm wanting. Are the majority of my thoughts fear thoughts? Or are the majority of my thoughts trust thoughts? That will tell me what I'm wanting. If I'm focused on worry and unworthiness, that is what I'm wanting. No matter what I say I want, that is what I'm wanting. So I need to get very, very clear on what I want by watching my thoughts. And if I am not wanting what I want, then I need to get in harmony with myself. It's that simple. Let me go ahead and just read the message Holy Spirit gave me today, because it's aligned with this. Yeah, Mary Ellen is writing, we have to be totally honest, and that's exactly the way I'm looking at it, Mary Ellen. I'm learning that I have to be totally honest with myself about what I'm thinking and what my motives are for the things I do, because what I'm finding underneath some motives, there could be like some unworthiness. You know, the reason why I may not say something to someone, for example, may be a fear that they're going to reject me based on what I'm saying, right? That's an unworthiness thought or a fear thought. And I need to let go of all these types of thoughts. I need to find all these things in my mind in order to get totally in harmony with myself. And in order to bring to myself these wants, these desires within this lifetime that are my stepping stones to my awakening. Seek ye first the kingdom. So let me read the message Holy Spirit gave me this morning. First thing that happened when I was talking to Holy Spirit is I noticed that I was afraid. So that's where this first paragraph comes from. Clearing your fears is important. For you cannot hear me through the filter of your fears. You cannot know me because you cannot trust me. And when you do not trust me, you choose not to know me, and so I shall not be known. And so, of course, this was just Holy Spirit letting me know to let go of my fear. And again, the reason I was feeling fearful is because we were going to have a discussion about wants. And as I mentioned, I'm already feeling guilty of wanting. So I was a little afraid to go into this discussion with Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit is telling me to let go of my fears so I can hear the Holy Spirit's voice, and I did do that. And then the message continues. You are afraid of your own wants now, but you would not encourage another to be afraid of the same desires. In love, you would grant them everything they ask for and wish them only happiness. But you do not grant this on yourself. You do not grant this on yourself because you believe you are inherently unworthy. This is to hold yourself apart from love, and so you cannot know love by your own choice. And I think that's a very important sentence. By choosing to have unworthiness thoughts in the mind, I am choosing a specific experience. And that specific experience is to hold myself within perception, because it can't be done in reality, but to hold myself as apart from love, as not deserving the gifts of love. And I'm doing it by my own choice, by being willing to hold to the unworthiness thoughts in the mind. You are seeing results that point towards your desires, and that is true. There's a true statement. There are already things that are happening in my life that are definitely moving in the right direction, but it's not consistent. So you are seeing results that point towards your desires, and yet these results are limited. This is only because your trust in me is inconsistent at this time. You allow fear into your mind, and fear limits the results provided through trust. So notice that Holy Spirit is really saying that if I fully trusted 100% of the time, everything in this experience would come from that trust, which would just be all of the miracles that I need within this lifetime in order to help me awaken. But because I also let fear in my mind, some of the experiences that I have are coming from that fear, which means I am not receiving as many miracles as I could receive in order to help me in my awakening. And the one that is holding me back, if you want to call that holding you back, the one that is holding me back is me, by where I am allowing my mind to be. You allow fear into your mind, and fear limits the results provided through trust. to see the miraculous results you desire, let go of fear. But fear cannot be let go if you hold to the thought that you are undeserving. So the core of your work now is to love yourself, to see yourself through the eyes that I have. And, you know, one thing that's really important about that sentence is not that accepting and loving Regina is important, because accepting and loving everything is important. But the Holy Spirit is really not stopping there. What the Holy Spirit is saying, love yourself by seeing yourself through the eyes that I have. So Holy Spirit is really asking me to allow myself to see myself as beyond Regina, to see the truth of what I am, and to love me for my truth. The Holy Spirit is directing my eyes beyond the illusion and asking me to love that. So the core of your work now is to love yourself, to see yourself through the eyes that I have. In this love, you shall grant yourself that which you want, because you seek only the reflection of love in a world where its reflection seems absent. You want to know love because love is what you are. Love, and in this, the second love in this sentence is the same as saying love you, because Holy Spirit is saying you are love. What you are doing by loving yourself and by allowing these miracles into your awareness is you are teaching yourself or reminding yourself that you are love. And this is the path to awakening. This is what we call the happy dream. The happy dream, as we allow ourselves to learn that we are love through loving ourselves and through receiving the miracles that love and trust brings into our awareness, we remind ourselves of what we are. And when we are reminded of what we are, we awaken to that. You want to know love because love is what you are. Love, to know it is love. And to experience the results, which are the loving reflection of pure love without limits. You can be that which you choose to be. And of course, he's talking about within experience, because what we are is what we are. But he's saying within experience, you know, while you're still within a body, you can be that which you choose to be in that experience by loving yourself within your experience. This is a stepping stone to true knowledge. You do not ask for anything that I do not willingly and lovingly give in complete joy and celebration for who you are, beautiful child of God. Have it your way. Your way is my way. It is the way of love. So you can see how the Holy Spirit is teaching me to let go of this fear that I have of wanting. And I notice that Cliff is saying, I remember Regina saying, it is the same perceived need of a relationship that will destroy that will destroy a relationship. And, you know, I think that what you need to do is, look at what the words perceived need mean. Basically, if there's fear energy in the thoughts around relationships, again, fear energy is something that needs to be let go of. Unworthiness energy is something that needs to be let go of. So we really need to watch our mind. And I know Steve has his hand up. Let me turn the mic over.
Yeah, something you were reading, and I'm not sure exactly what you were reading from, but I tried to go back to the 14th or the 11th or something, and I didn't see it. But when you were saying, something really struck kind of home or stood off for me, in the fact that you read something about how if you're listening to the fear, you can't hear the Holy Spirit's voice. And I think sometimes when it just felt like sometimes when I don't seem to be able to hear guidance, it's because I'm not letting go of the fear. And so that really kind of struck home. I was talking to Cam about it last month or something like that, and then she was mentioning, like, well, who is this voice that says you're doing something wrong? And it's usually almost always the ego, I guess. So that really struck home pretty well. I think it really resonated, or really made sense, or really stood out. That if I'm not hearing Holy Spirit, it might be, or might likely be, because I'm believing in the voice for judgment. And I think what came up for me when I read when you were reading what Cliff wrote in here, I remember Regina saying, it is the same perceived need of a relationship that will destroy a relationship. That reminded me of something that I read in the Carpenter book too, about if you think you can, you'll never be able to manifest from a feeling of lack. You know, if you think you need something, you won't be able to manifest it. But if you think you're worthy and it's deserved, and you don't need it, but you'd have a preference for it, then you'd be able to manifest anything you wanted to. And I think that kind of comes out in the Doyle book too, about manifesting from your right mind. But so those were just a couple of things that came up for me when I was hearing you read that, and I was just wondering exactly where you're reading from, because I tried to go back and look at what paragraph or sentence it was, but I couldn't find it when I went backwards in the thing. But yeah, so that's what I got out of what Cliff wrote in. There was if I think I need something, or if I'm coming from a feeling of lack, that I'll never be able to manifest. And I remember them talking about that in the dialogue in Awakening by the Carpenters, or Jesus, or Brother, or whatever. But if I'm listening to another voice, and that's what I know I'm listening to sometimes if I'm in pain or suffering, is that voice of judgment, which must be coming from the ego. So thanks for what you read. It made a lot of sense to me, and I think it was helpful. Here's the mic back. Appreciate it. Appreciate your sharing that reading today. Here it is.
Thank you, Steve. And yeah, I was reading from a post that I made today, Steve. I'm sorry to confuse you. That was today's post. but yeah, it's funny because even in wanting a relationship, since that's the example we're using, you know, we can look at why we want the relationship. For example, you know, in this world, it's entirely possible that a person may want a relationship because somehow they feel like they are unworthy or less than others if they don't have a relationship. And you can see how that wanting is not from the right mind. That wanting is actually coming from the belief in unworthiness. And who knows, if the unworthiness was let go, the relationship might not even be a part of the true desire. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. But, you know, it's coming from the wrong place. And so it's really important, as Mary Ellen said earlier, to get honest. And, you know, what I find helpful, and this is what works for me, what I find helpful is to remain really focused on my true desire. And then it seems that other desires blossom out of that, and I can feel the difference, rather than directly wanting in the world, if that makes any sense. It's not that there are wants that seem to be in the world do blossom out of the true desire, but if I keep my mind fully focused on that, the wanting just comes from a different place. It just comes from a different place because it's always there to serve the true desire. It's always there to teach me, you know, because The purpose behind it is to teach me who I am. And the purpose behind it is to help me to become more vigilant within my mind. And the purpose behind it is to know love and to extend love. So, you know, again, it's just a matter of learning to get honest with ourselves. And one thing I loved about this post from May 10th is it always tells us that we can't help but find what we seek in perception, because that is how perception works. So the truth is, what we can do right now, right this very second, is look at the situation in our life and honestly say, I have been wanting this. Because if I haven't been wanting this, this would not be my situation. And then we can ask, do I want to continue to want this? Is this truly making me happy? And if I don't want to continue wanting this, then I need to go back into the mind and find where I'm accepting those thoughts that are bringing my current situation to me. And again, I like to stay at the level of content rather than specifics. I find it easier. So I go back into my mind and I look for unworthiness thoughts, fear thoughts, guilt thoughts, attack and defense thoughts, and I start noticing those thoughts, and I start choosing again. And as I do that, as I am vigilant for the kingdom, all else will be added to me, and perception will change to show me that I am watching my mind and being vigilant for the kingdom now. Because perception cannot help but show you what you seek, because that is how perception works. Perception is seen as the result of your choice, as the result of your decision of what you want to see. So it's a great way, if things aren't going the way we want, if we aren't truly happy with the way things are within this seeming life now, the place to go back to is the mind, and the practice to get back into is being vigilant for the kingdom. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything else to say. All right, then. Looks like on Tuesday, May 10th, 2005, if we scroll up, I also posted something from a friend's blog. Let's see what this was. It must have really stood out for me if I wanted to post it on my blog. This is from my friend that calls himself Judas the Twin. He lives in Texas. I believe his real name is Fritz. Is that right, David? I believe his name is Fritz, I think. Anyway, he said, "Where the voice of insanity has taught that perception is reality and must be responded to accordingly, the voice of sanity teaches that perception is unreality and must be responded to accordingly." Yes, I can see why I posted that. It was very much in alignment with my own message from that day. So it's a beautiful message. He's saying that the ego, of course, says perception is reality and must be responded to accordingly. So in other words, my fears are real, and I need to take the actions in the world that one would take to avoid these fears. And of course, a part of that is going to be, you know, worrying more about the fears and trying to plan around them, which of course is going to attract more of that same type of experience to me. But he is saying the voice of sanity teaches that perception is unreality and must be responded to accordingly, which means it is the mind that must change. It is the mind that must change, because it is the mind that is attracting the experience. So I'm sure I saw that posted on his blog that day and just thought that was perfect, along with what the Holy Spirit was teaching me. And so I chose to post it as well. Let's scroll on up to Wednesday, May 11th. "The world is a reflection of the me I see. It is a reflection of what's inside of me. As I see love, I know it is me. As I see peace, I know it is me. As I see joy and connectedness, I know it is me. The world I see is a reflection of me. I am the me that I see." That's a very interesting message, and I'll tell you why that's a very interesting message. And notice I named it the vision of Christ, because what the Holy Spirit is teaching me through that little poem is when I look out at the world, if I happen to see, for example, attack, you know, I happen to see war, or I happen to see two co-workers fighting, the Holy Spirit is teaching me through this little message, that is not me. That is not me. That's not my reality. What I'm looking at is not me. It's kind of like when I was talking on Sunday night. On Sunday night, I said that when you are feeling the feelings that are within you, you may find hatred, but that does not mean that you are hateful, because you are not. You are love. You know, you may find feelings of guilt and unworthiness, but that does not mean that you are guilty or that you are unworthy, because you are the innocent, perfect, beautiful, free Son of God. So that's really what Holy Spirit is saying here. As I look out on the world, I'm going to see me. But then he's being very clear on what I'm going to find that is me. It's the vision of Christ he's talking about. So let me read that one more time. "The world is a reflection of the me I see. It is a reflection of what's inside of me. As I see love, I know it is me. As I see peace, I know it is me. as I see joy and connectedness, I know it is me. The world I see is a reflection of me. I am the me that I see. And again, he's talking about the vision of Christ. He doesn't want me to get confused when I'm seeing these other things and think that is me, because that is not me. That is the obstacles to love's presence, or the obstacles to knowing myself. And as I let go of those obstacles, then I will see me. I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything to share.
Yeah, I was just hearing you talk, and then it reminded me of that teaching you did a while back where you know, there's a workbook lesson, I think it's number 24 or something like that, where it says, I do not perceive my own best interests, and you made a list of things you were sharing that one time about things you thought would make you happy, and then instead of, then you looked at the list and you really maybe didn't think it would make you as happy as you thought it would, so then you went ahead and asked Holy Spirit what would make you happy, and he gave you a list of four or five things, and I thought that was really pretty cool, because I mean maybe the things you thought would make you happy were actually blocks to the awareness of what would really make you happy, and it was really kind of neat and kind of cool when you did that, let Holy Spirit decide for you what would really make you happy, rather than thinking you knew what would make you happy, or thinking that your thoughts, what you thought you knew would make you happy, would make you happy. So I just wanted to say that that kind of came up for me when you were talking about just going to Holy Spirit and asking Him. That would be like seeking seeking the kingdom first, instead of just thinking we knew what would make you happy. So I thought that was meaningful to me when you shared that. Here's the mic back. Thanks.
Yeah, the original wanting that I was doing in that situation was what I would call short-sighted, because I was not thinking all the way to awakening. I was literally thinking what things in the world would make me happy. I mean, it was short-sighted thinking. So what Holy Spirit taught me to do was think in a more unlimited way. Holy Spirit pointed to awakening and gave me five things that would help me towards awakening, and taught me to want those things. And then, as I mentioned, as I wanted those things, there would be wants that came out of them that were stepping stones within the world. For example, the desire to have a publisher show up for NTI. I mean, I really felt guided to want that. And, you know, this is what I also feel is what I would call co-creation. Co-creation is getting in alignment with what we truly want, which is our truest desire, and then wanting along with the Holy Spirit, wanting everything that comes to us to lead us in that direction, to lead us towards awakening. It's really, again, it's being in harmony with ourselves. But I like to think, I personally like to think of it as co-creation. I am wanting with the Holy Spirit, or I am wanting in alignment with the Holy Spirit, and I just feel really good about that. I think I do feel a lot more confident in my wanting, and I do not fear my wanting when I realize that I am wanting in alignment with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of awakening, and that whatever we're wanting is a stepping stone in that direction. When I start feeling guilty for my wanting is when I feel like I'm wanting on my own, and that Holy Spirit has been telling me recently is just a judgment on my part, because Holy Spirit is telling me that these wantings in my mind are in alignment. The Holy Spirit says, your way is my way. So the Holy Spirit is telling me that that's just a judgment in my mind, and that I can let that judgment go, because my wants are being placed in my mind by the Holy Spirit to lead me to awakening, to lead me to realize what I am, to lead me to recognize that I am love. So it's really quite interesting, and it also shows how tricky the ego is in the mind. And I know that this wanting stuff is a difficult topic, and the reason it's a difficult topic is because so many of us feel guilty for wanting. We do. I mean, you know, we feel guilty for wanting. And that's especially prevalent, I think, within the Course in Miracles community, because we feel guilty for the tiny mad idea. And the Holy Spirit has never, ever, 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 ever not in A Course in Miracles or any other book that I have read, said you are guilty for the tiny mad idea. That's a misperception that we somehow got in reading the Course, and then we shared it with each other. The Holy Spirit has never, ever, 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 in my awareness, told me I'm guilty for anything. Not for anything. All the Holy Spirit says is you are innocent, you are the free Son of God. But again, what we want to get clear on, and this is true for each and every one of us, what we want to get clear on is what do I want? And then we want to make sure our mind is in alignment with what I want. And if I want awakening, then I want my mind to be in alignment with awakening. But if I don't want awakening, if I just want a relationship, well then let me put my mind in alignment with that relationship. To heck with it. Forget about awakening. If that's not what I want, that's not what I want in this lifetime, and I'm the free Son of God. But you want to hear a funny joke? The funny joke is, if you learn that in order to get the relationship, you need to let go of unworthiness, let go of fear, let go of guilt, you've actually put your mind in alignment with awakening anyway, haven't you? It's kind of like Jesus says in the Course, you know, you don't have to believe in me, you don't even have to believe in God, right? But if you get your mind in alignment for anything that you want, you're actually also getting your mind in alignment with the kingdom. It's all a stepping stone. We're all walking in the same direction, no matter what it seems like we're doing. So I don't think I'll start this next one because it's pretty long and we only have a couple of minutes left. So I notice Glenn has his hand up. I'll turn the mic over to Glenn.
Okay, can you hear me now? Okay, great. I can see the microphone, so I know I'm being heard. So the two thoughts that I had while you were sharing are, because we're talking about wants, the first thought I had, we were talking about loving yourself. And, you know, in order to really love others effectively, of course we can't have a lot of unworthiness, unclean thought. We're unclean. I can't come into the presence of God. I'm separate from God. You know, all these lack thoughts. So I thought to myself, well, okay, so how do I love myself? And the thought I had was where it says miracles are seen in light. So the Holy Spirit, you know, and the perceptual mind isn't necessarily the domain of truth. So the Holy Spirit, but it can be used to identify falsity. So, you know, the Holy Spirit is that bridge, right? So the Holy Spirit identifies the falsity and merely forgives it, and we let go of it. And maybe you even want to inject a thought of truth in there. You know, I'm not a body, I'm free. I am as God created me. I'm God's perfect Son. Whatever it is. And you call. I remember you said that, Regina, the other day, where all our cells stand at attention. So, in terms of loving myself, I guess that's how I could love myself instead of identifying with these, you know, lack thoughts. You know, I'm never going to meet anybody. I'm always going to be broke. I'm going to be sick. You name it. Legion, right? Legion. I think that's what it calls it in the Bible, where the guy who was demon possessed, he was so ego dominated, they called him Legion. And it just can come at us in so many different ways. So not to identify that with that stuff, and just release it, forgive it. And so that's what I thought in terms of loving myself would be. And then the second thought I had was the things about wants. And you said it earlier, or you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I think the Course also says that the only need we really have is to extend the light. And I think that. You know, you were talking about wanting a publisher, and I think your work's so phenomenal that that will be provided. Just keep extending the light, if I just keep extending the light, it seems in that moment that all my needs are met. You know, if I'm in a miracle-ready state and I'm extending the light, then that I kind of use the analogy of a hose. You know, if we're going to go water the garden, then I turn on the hose, and the first thing that gets wet isn't the flowers in the garden that I'm wetting, but the inside of that hose. So when I'm loving, then when I'm extending the light or extending love, then I'm receiving what it is I'm wanting, it seems like. So I hope that supports what you're teaching today. Thanks.
Yeah, Glenn, that totally supported what I was teaching today. I made a comment while you were talking where I said, yes, perfect, you got it. You got it. You may go to the head of the class. I think that was a game we used to play as kids. You may go to the head of the class. You got it. You got the right answer. But also, I wanted to let you know, Glenn, that the end of the story about wanting the publisher was provided. That has already happened. So NTI is going to be published next March. But the way that happened, of course, there was, you know, thoughts within the mind, because, you know, it's the way the world is, that we had to get out there and look for a publisher, that we had to figure out which publishers we'd have the best chance with, that we needed to, you know, send out query letters and all of that. And the want that was placed in my mind by the Holy Spirit was not to do any of that traditional stuff. What I was guided to want to do nothing and let the publisher show up. That was the want to do nothing and let the publisher show up. And so for months, as different people would make different suggestions to me about what I should do, and even as some people seemed to criticize me and tell me that I was afraid because I was doing nothing, what I needed to do was hold firm to that want in my mind in trust, that I wanted a publisher to just show up. Because that was the want that was planted in my mind by the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit is saying is that I was very consistent in that wanting. And that is why that did happen. What actually happened was a publisher did show up without us looking for one. So the Holy Spirit is using that example, saying, you know, you were very consistent in the wanting there, and this is why the miracle happened within form, or the reflection of the miracle. It was just a reflection of my consistency. So what I need now in my life is that same consistency, that same trust in everything, rather than fearing some things. So that's the moral of the story. And Dove is giving you a link right now to the publisher and the page for NTI at the publisher's website. So that is it for today. I will be back on Thursday at 1 o'clock for the NTI study group. I would like to say one more time, happy birthday, my beloved Carolyn.